thing I love about hearing testimony as such is that the truth is we are all work in progress, isn't it? We are all work in progress. Sometimes we listen to testimonies, it's like we are all healed, all restored, all is good. But the truth is we are all work in progress. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are all work in progress. Work in progress. Amen. That's good. All right, so today I'm going to talk about the Father's love. Yeah, Father's Day, I'm going to talk about Father's love. Okay, how many of you fathers have received a Father's Day gift? Yeah. Yes, how many of you have received a Bunnings vouchers? Yeah. No? How many have you received a Coolest Dad cup? So my son gave me something yesterday. Please indulge me. Just 2 seconds for me to brag a little bit, all right? Not a prayer warrior. This is my little Zach, all right? So he gave me this. It's called the Cool Dad Mode. That's right. He called me a cool dad. So I thought that's pretty awesome. The son is there. So anyway, I'm sure many of you would have gotten something. So I've got a question for you. So for many dads, yeah, you do all the dangerous stuff. You all do all the difficult stuff at home. Now imagine if there's like weird noise or weird sound in the house 2 a.m. in the morning. Who would go and check out what's happening? Usually it's the dad. If the roof needs fixing, guess who's going to do it? Some of the mothers like, I'm actually doing it. Congratulations for moms. They're being like dads. Good on you too. Now, the truth is dads make a lot of sacrifices, do a lot of dangerous stuff at home, and sometimes it goes unnoticed. Now, my question for you is this. Yeah? My question for you is this. What is the most dangerous thing your dad has done for you? Let's take a pause, yeah? 3 seconds, 4 seconds. What is the most dangerous thing that your dad has done for you? All right, some of you can think of something, some of you can't. Now, on a Father's Day, we all have mixed emotions, don't we? You know, it has a lot to do with our dad. It also has a lot to do with whether our dad are still with us. But today, as much as we are celebrating Father's Day, but today we're going to talk about our Father in heaven. We're going to talk about our Father in heaven. Now, what do you think is the most dangerous word that Jesus has ever said? In fact, it is the word that got him killed. Do you know what's the word? It's actually quite interesting. The word is Father. Now you'd be thinking, why would this word got Jesus killed? When Jesus calls God Father, that is actually a very unusual thing. Do you know for us, our Christian faith, when we call God, when we address God as Father, that is really unusual. So even for the Jewish nation, so in the Old Testament, the word Father was used around 15 times. And out of the 15 times, when they address God as Father, normally it addresses in a corporate sense, meaning to say that sometimes they address someone who started a nation as a father of a nation. So in a similar sense, in the Old Testament, when the Jews call God Father, it's more in a corporate sense, like together, like he's a father of this nation. So when Jesus called God as Father, it's not just calling God Father as a nation, but he called it as a personal name. So in fact, in the Aramaic, the name is actually called Abba. So in our language, so I'm not sure in your language, what is the dearest term you call Father? So some in our culture, we call Dad or call Daddy, you know. So in my culture, we call Papa. Yes, I'm not sure in your culture, what do you call your dad? But it's a very endearing term. So when Jesus called God his Father, his Papa, the people around him, especially the religious leaders, in their mind, something just went popped. They are like, who are you to call God your Father? Like, this is blasphemous. In fact, Jesus called it so many times. I think in the scriptures, it's recorded like over 160 times. He will keep addressing God as his personal father. So in John chapter 5, verse 18, it says, he was even calling God his own father, making himself equal with God. So this idea, this concept that God is the father is actually a very unique, very radical concept even in Jesus' time. Now, do you remember when the disciples asked Jesus, can you teach me how to pray? What did Jesus say? Come, let me teach you how to pray. The first thing that Jesus taught them, the beginning of a prayer is what? Let's read together, yeah? The beginning of the prayer is our Father. The first thing that Jesus said is our Father in heaven. Now, for most of us here, because you are so familiar with the Lord's Prayer, sometimes we just take it for granted. But this is a really foreign and a radical concept. Not just in the olden days, but even for today. If I were to do an experiment today, yeah? So for example, if I were to walk out the street of Melbourne today, and I would ask people, how would you call God? Or what is your understanding of God? Most likely than not, the terms that will come is that sometimes you'll say, I don't believe in God. But if I believe in God, maybe it's the force, you know, heavily influenced by, is it Star Trek? May the force be with you. Star Wars, I beg your pardon. All the Star Trek fans, they're like, oh. So in your idea, maybe it's like a force. But in some people's idea, maybe he is like the creator. Yeah, or maybe in some people's idea, he's like, I don't know, the Santa Claus, you know, the guy who make things happen. But I would bet, actually I shouldn't be gambling, should I? Yeah. But I would say, rarely, people would say God is my father. Because that is such a radical concept. That Jesus is calling us, is telling us, God is not just a distant, powerful, the almighty, all powerful, ever-present God. Yes, He is. He's not just your healer. Yes, He is. He's not just the Alpha and the Omega. Yes, He is. But more than that, He is your dad. He's your father. And with that, I've got a question for you. Whenever you come to God, what do you call God? What is your identity? Do you come to Him as someone like, hey, Dad, Father? Is it someone that's intimate or is it someone that is distant? Perhaps in our mind, we are heavily influenced by our own earthly dad. And that kind of, quote-unquote, distort our view of our Heavenly Father, don't we? So the question is this then. What then is like our Heavenly Father? What then is like our Heavenly Father? And a quick application for us, just a quick one, just for this week, yeah? Let's try out. When you pray, perhaps begin your prayer by addressing God as Father. But can I go even further? In your own language, what is the most endearing term? Because in Jesus' time, in that culture, they used both Aramaic and Greek. And Paul specifically uses the Aramaic word called Abba. What an endearing term, right? Imagine coming to God and call Him in the most intimate term as a father, like, Dad. So in my language, you'd be, Ba, I come before you, just as a child, just as a child. Hence, I suppose the important question is this, then what does the Father's love look like? What is this Father like? Yeah, as revealed in the Scriptures. Now, just on this alone, I could preach 10 sermons. But for the sake of our time, I will use only 3 points. The first thing first is this. What does our Father's love look like? The first thing is that He runs toward you. Everyone say, He runs toward you. He runs toward you. This Father, the love of the Father, is a love that initiates. It's a love that is proactive. It's a love that runs after you. Now, again, this is a foreign concept. This whole idea of God the Father running towards you comes from this famous passage, which we call the prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, you know the story. The prodigal son squandered the wealth of the father. He ran away, squandered the wealth, spending on prostitutes, spending on self-indulgence. And then he's up to his wit's end. He was like, what am I going to do? He was thinking to himself, I've got a plan. My plan is I'm going to go back to my father's house, my dad's house. I'm going to ask for his forgiveness, and I'm going to be one of his servants. So that was his plan. So upon returning, so this is the crazy part. Upon returning, the father is already waiting there for him. Not only he was waiting there, we read in the scriptures, the dad saw him from afar, felt something in his heart, and he starts running towards him. Before the son uttered a single word, he grabbed him, kissed him, and welcomed him home. That is what the father's love looked like. It also gives us a glimpse of how us as earthly father should do. Now, I'm not sure about you. When my children do something that is not quite right in my eyes, when they have offended me, what do? Yeah, I will sit there. I will sulk. My face from this size become this size. Long face. I won't say anything, but for my body language and for my face, I'm demanding an apology. You better say sorry to your old man. You know? I probably won't say it. But here, look at God the Father, the perfect, eternal God. If anyone deserves an apology, guess who deserves an apology? It will be God the Father, isn't it? But here we have God Himself took the initiative to go and run towards the Son. Put on the best robe, put on the ring, and put on the shoes for Him. In Psalm 103, this is what we read. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Shall we read this together? Yeah. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. That is the love of the Father. He runs towards you. And the application for us as fathers is this. There are times we have to put down our dignity. We have to approach the offending party and initiate conversation. In our own strength, we can't do it. And it is a really big ask. Yeah, I don't know about people from a Western culture, but from an Asian culture, men like me, it is a very big ask. My dad will never, ever say sorry. Like, this is how we are being brought up. So in my culture, I'm just saying in my culture, I don't think I've ever heard my dad say, I love you. I know that he loves me. He loves me by doing things for me. So every time when my dad say, son, have you eaten? I know that is his way of saying, son, I love you. Yeah. Son, is there anything I could do for you? That is his way of saying, I love you. All right? So for all the Asian children that you feel that, oh, you're not getting love from your dad, he just expressed it differently. Amen? Yeah, all right. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there any perfect fathers here? Let me ask another question. Any perfect children here? Yeah. So be reasonable, all right? So none of us are perfect. So let's just celebrate one another. Amen? Only two people agree with me. Amen? Amen? Wonderful. Let's go. And the second thing that the love of the Father expressed to us is that He gave His Son for you. His one and only Son for you. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, this is what it says. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? This is one of my favorite scriptures. Because sometimes when I doubt, sometimes when I feel confused, sometimes my faith is shaken, I will come back to this verse. Sometimes when I doubt the goodness or the plan of God, the Lord reminded me, if I can spare my Son, how much more? How much more? What a beautiful thing, isn't it? That the Father's love is one who did not withhold any good thing from you. Now, as earthly fathers, and I'll talk about the earthly fathers today, yeah? Just now, you all stood up. I want to encourage all the earthly fathers here. There are many times you make sacrifices your family may not know. Your children may not realize. But be encouraged. We have a perfect Father who encourages us. And very often, it is during those times as we draw near to God. Sometimes in your heart, you know, you feel that you'll be nice if they know. But the truth is, sometimes it's okay people do not know. The Father knows. Amen. As I speak to the fathers, similarly I speak to the moms too. Some moms, you are not just doing mom's role, you're also doing dad's role. Dual role. So double portion of blessing upon your life today. Yeah. The Lord knows. Times when you are going through difficulties, the Lord knows. Do not be afraid. Here, it says that, how will God the Father not also graciously give us all things? And in Matthew chapter 7, it says that, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven. Your dad in heaven knows the best. The third thing, when we talk about the Father's love, is that He will never let go of you. Your dad in heaven will never give up on you. In Romans chapter 8, yeah, it says that not anything else in all creation will be able us to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing on this earth can separate us from the love of the Father. Now, sometimes we read these scriptures, we read it, but we don't really believe it. Because a lot of times, and it's part of the way of our upbringing, the way we are raised is that we have to earn our ways. Yeah? You go to work, you get paid a wage. Yeah. Sometimes when we approach God, it's like that. We don't approach God as a father. Yeah. Sometimes we approach God as a boss. Yeah. I've been good, so if I'm good, if I perform and I live a moral life, guess what? God, you should bless me. Just like if I work hard in the company, the employer should reward me. Isn't that right? In fact, a lot of employees are disgruntled, are unhappy, unsatisfied. Is why? You work so hard, you gave your heart and soul and 110% of your life, but your boss never took notice of you. That is a culture, right? Sometimes we bring that culture into the church. Sometimes we bring the culture into our relationship with God. It's as if we have to prove ourselves to God in order for Him to love us. What does the Bible say? Who initiates? Who runs? Who first gave? It's our Father. A lot of times when it comes to our faith, we first give up on ourselves. It is not the Lord who give up on us. So keep running the good race. Keep running the good race because your Father in heaven is cheering for you and that He will never, never give up on you. I talk about how different fathers express love differently, isn't it? A small homework for us this week, yeah? We are sons and daughters of a father. Think about this, yeah? Think about how your dad expressed your love to you. Yeah. Some of our dads may not be around, may they be with the Lord. But I think it's a good time to think that in our culture, how do our dad express his love? And as children, we want to thank the dad. But for dad, perhaps, we also need to go beyond our own culture and step into what we call the kingdom culture, the Jesus culture. Though my dad may not use that term to say, I love you, but what we can do is that we can grow out of that culture into the kingdom culture and start expressing ourselves. It is okay to say, I love you to our kids. Some of you folks are looking at me strange. It's like, why is this such a big deal to say I love you? You know. So to all my Caucasian friends, it's a big deal for Asian like me. All right? It's a big deal to say I love you. Big deal. All right? But it's okay to step out from our culture and step into the culture of Jesus. So let us come before the Lord. Not as a stranger, but as a child. Because He loves us and gives Himself for us. Now, the question then is this, eh? How then do we become a child of God? Yeah. How then do we become a child of God? There's a very specific scripture that actually talk about this, yeah? How then do we become a child of God? In John chapter 1, verse 12, let us read this together. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Two words in there. Receive and believe. And I'm going to close this service by telling about these two before we enter to a time of communion. Receive and believe. Now, to receive Him, the word Him is referring to Jesus Christ, to welcome Jesus into your heart, to receive Christ. In order for us to become children of God, we must first receive Christ. Second thing is to believe in His name, to trust. Now, I just want to explain that a little bit more. Now, to receive is to first open our heart. Yeah. So on a Christmas, when you receive a gift, what do? You receive with two hands. Yeah. Spiritually speaking, it's the same. How do we receive God? We receive with an open heart. By first believing in who He is. Now, the word believe, so I'm glad just now Johan actually touched on that a little bit. The word believe do not just mean that you believe here. The word believe actually means you trust God with your life. Meaning to say, God, not only I believe here, I'm going to put my trust, my hope, and my life to you. In the Mandarin word, which I will explain, is sing kao. Means to have faith and to depend. You see that? Two words coming together. Is to have faith and to depend. When we say we believe in God, what we are truly saying is this. Not only I put my trust and my faith in Him, I'm going to rely and depend on Him. How do you rely and depend on Him? By doing what He says in this word. Yeah. So I'll give you a very simple example. Yeah. So if I ask my daughter, hop on the car, we're just going to go somewhere. All right? She hop on the car, and then we go somewhere. Basically, what she's doing? She's trusting her life, her future, on someone. Because she knows that I'm not going to harm her. She knows that perhaps I'm going to bring her to somewhere fun. Perhaps I'm going to bring her to a good place to have a nice meal. She trusts me and she believes in me. In a similar manner, when we come to God the Father, we are saying, God, I believe where you're going to bring me in this life. I'm going to trust you. What you say, the Bible says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. What you say, I will do. That is what we mean by trusting God. And when you put your trust in Him, the Father says, you are my child. You will live under the blessing of the Father. The world will tell you otherwise, but God the Father is saying, put your trust in me. So as we come to a time of communion, I will invite our worship team to come. In Romans chapter 8, it says, the spirit of adoption as son by whom we cry, Abba, Father. This is us coming to the Lord and say, God, you're my father. You're my dad. And then we can just say this simple, simple prayer. What is this simple prayer? This simple prayer is this. It says, Dad, I believe that Jesus is your son. And I received him as my Lord, as my Savior. Today, I come home to you. Now, seated here, I'm not sure where you are when it comes to God as your Father. Yeah. We all may be in a different place. You know, some of us perhaps, even as I share with you, you're saying, yeah, that makes sense. I really see God as my Father, like one who is so dear, one who is so close to me. For some, perhaps you're like, I don't quite see that. But today, even as we come to a time of communion, I want to welcome you to see God as your Father, who is welcoming you home. Now, if you do not have a communion, you can put out your hands, and if you know the Lord, if you know the meaning of this communion, we welcome you to come and participate. If you don't have one, please put out your hand. Our ushers on the left and right will give one to you. Wonderful. Wonderful. I encourage you to close your eyes and bow your heads. Yeah. Now is the time for you to respond to God. Yeah? Respond to the message. You can first take out your bread. Now we come to a very sacred, a very holy time. It's also an intimate time with the Lord. You come before the Father. Yeah, come before the Father. Eyes closed. So I want you to imagine, yeah? So come with me, yeah? I want you to imagine that God the Father is right in front of you. Think of a place, a special place, a holy and a sacred place that you can meet God the Father. For some, it could be in the nature, it could be a walk, For some, it could be a quiet place in the room. For some, it could be just right on the beach. You can smell the sea in the air. But wherever that is, it's a place whereby you feel safe. It's a place whereby you feel that you're secured and that God the Father is there. He's saying this to you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. Would you come? Would you pour your heart to me? Would you follow me? Would you trust me? Would you depend on me? Would you surrender your worries to me? Would you put your trust on me? God the Father, at that very moment, will also remind you that the proof of my love for you is that while we were still away, while we were still sinners, I sent my only son for you. I ran towards you. That's how much I love you, my child. My precious, precious child. God the Father loves you. Let us partake the bread together. Let us continue to remain on that posture, in that sacred and a special place with God the Father. Then bring the cup. Say, this is my son. Suffered, crucified, his blood poured out for you. The grace of God is upon you. His love is upon you. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Then God the Father has done everything, so that you could come home, so that you can become the children of the Most High God. So would you in your heart just start giving thanks to God the Father? Perhaps in your life, there are certain areas that you need to make right before the Father. Do it right here, right now. Before we partake the blood of Christ, right here, right now, confess before the Father. Come before the Father. As the father run towards the prodigal son, the father will come to you, embrace you. You are forgiven, my son. Come home. Let us drink the cup together. In closing, we're going to sing a worship song. I invite everyone to stand. Take this precious, precious time and focus.